Well, in our Big Questions of Life series today, we come to this idea of priorities because all Christians have priorities and Christians have a hard time sometimes determining what their priorities should be in any given moment. If we're talking about New Year's resolutions, for example, these are the most popular ones that come up. People say, I want to exercise more in the new year. I want to lose weight. I want to eat healthier. I want to get organized. I want to learn a new skill or hobby. I want to save more money or spend less money. I want to spend more time with family and friends, travel more, read more. These are the things that come up all the time. Now, those are all okay, but we're talking about priorities. Like, you don't have enough time in your life to do everything that you want to do. So what are you going to do? Are you going to hit the gym more? Are you going to, you know, get together with friends for coffee more? What are you going to do? We only have so many hours in a day. Christians usually have these in their priority bucket. We have to sort through these, and these are a little less self-centered than the last list. For example, spiritual wellness. We know as Christians, well, that's just everything. If we're not emotionally and spiritually well, how are we going to do anything right in life? And then family relationships, you know, that's right at the top. We know that we have to take care of our family. And then we talk about physical health and beauty. Yeah, you know, that's in there somehow. And financial wellness. Yeah, that's in there somehow. And then good friendships. You know, it's not okay just to have family. You're supposed to have friends too, and Christians that are very important to you. And then there's supposed to be charity. You just do certain things for people to be nice. And then there's career achievement. Yeah, that's big. And then pure relaxation. I just need to decompress sometimes. And then there are things that aren't exactly relaxing. Like you want to have a hobby, and it's a little bit hard. It takes a little bit of work. It takes a little bit of time. And you want to travel, and travel can be exhausting, but it's awfully cool. And then interesting experiences. I want to go. I want to do. I want to create. Things like that. And then knowledge and talents. Well, I'd like to learn another language. I would like to learn this computer coding thing. I would like to learn this, learn that. And I would like to have some talents. You know, I want to pick up that instrument. I just haven't been practicing. Physical feats and skills. I would like to be able to do 20 pull-ups. I would like to be able to run a half marathon. And so all of these things are in our bucket list, you know, what we want to do. But what should we do with our priorities, right? When Christians talk about these things, they have all different ideas. So you see in this little list of memes, the top two on the left and middle, have three items, and they are the same. But if you go to the top right meme, it says that there are six items. They're a little different then. And if you go to the bottom left-hand corner, there are four items, and they build a pyramid from the bottom up in that case, and that's nice. On the right side of the bottom, you see it's another pyramid, but this time it has five items. So are there three? Are there four? Are there five? Are there six? And how do you know? Well, I want to give you a different model today. When we are sorting through our priorities, I recommend that you do it this way. This comes from Claire de Graaff. He's a very successful businessman. He was making parts to office chairs, you know, that make your office chairs lean, recline, and go up and down. And he became like, his business was like the most important business in the United States for office chairs parts. But then he started thinking about things he could do for the Lord a little more intentionally. And he gives an example of the kinds of things that he got involved in. This is not his story in the sense that he is the main character, but he tells this story to describe what he's doing in his life now and what he encourages other people to do. A Christian woman is at the grocery store, and in front of her is another lady. She has three small children, and the kids are giving her a hard time. One of the children has just run off. One is standing up in the shopping cart, and that's scaring her to death. And another child is talking incessantly. In the meantime, she's trying to pay for her groceries, and her credit card doesn't go through. So now she's dumped out half of her purse, and she's churning through trying to find cash, and she doesn't seem to have enough cash. And she says, I think I have enough. And then she's looking, and the one kid is crying, and one kid is AWOL. The Christian lady standing behind her said, listen, I think this will cover it. So, here, this ought to take care of it. The woman behind the mother says to the clerk as she hands over her credit card. And the mother says, you don't have to do that, renewing her digging in the purse. And the Christian lady says, please, let me do this for you and for your children. And so it was done. She paid for the lady's groceries. A couple minutes later, they meet up, having both paid. And the mother says, "Thank you so much, but why did you offer to pay for my groceries?" And she says, "I'm a Christian. As I stood behind you, I sensed that God wanted me to pay for your groceries, so I did. Simple as that. Since everything I have belongs to God anyway, He paid your bill, not me. Just thank Him if you'd like. I hope you have a great day." And you see what was happening there? That was not something that could be planned. It was something that happened in a moment of time. And the way she described it, "I think God wants me to pay for your groceries, and so that's the way it happened." And that's a model that I would like to elaborate on for the next few minutes with you right now. Two essential ideas were going on in that model that are very biblical. The first one comes from just a story in Luke chapter 10. And you know this very well. This is the story of when Jesus was in the home of Mary and Martha. And Martha got all busy with hospitality and she didn't even enjoy the time that she was with Jesus. But Mary sat and listened to Jesus talk and they had such a wonderful time of conversation. It was so warm. And Martha, being upset because Mary wasn't helping her with the housework, she tells Jesus, "Make my sister help me with this work. It's no fair that I'm doing all the work and she is resting and enjoying a conversation with you. Tell my sister to help me." And Jesus said, essentially, no. And here's the way it comes out. Jesus said to her, to Martha, "You're upset and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful, and Mary has chosen that." So here is Martha working. And you know, what could be better than working for Jesus, right? But she's working so hard and she has kind of a bad attitude. And Jesus says, "No, Martha, you're wrong. I didn't want you to work. I wanted to sit with you and talk with you. And that was the needful thing and you missed it." And Mary chose the right thing in this instance. So there's a one needful thing that should be done in any given moment of your life. And then in Galatians 5:25, we see this very simple command in Scripture. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. And remember, whenever you see those "let us," that formula is a command. We must, let us, as a command, walk in the Spirit. So we're going to join these two ideas together over and over today. One thing is needful, walk in the Spirit. If you will join those two texts together, it will help you very much as you sort through the priorities of your life. You see on the right-hand side the old illustration that all the life coaches use. And it's the idea of filling the jar. And the typical story is that you take big rocks and you put them in a jar and you fill it to the top. And you say, "Is this jar full?" And everybody says, "Yeah, it's full." But then you say, "No, it's not." And you take sand and you can fill the sand in that jar with all the cracks and crevices, and it's filled to the top. And you say, "Now is this jar full?" And everybody says, "Yes, now it's really, really full." And you say, "No, it's not." And you take water and you pour water in the jar until it comes to the brim. You say, "Now it's full, now it's full." But you were wrong two other times. The idea is you have to put the big things in the jar first. If you fill the jar to the brim with sand and then think you're going to put the big rocks in, it's never going to happen. Big rocks first, then little rocks, sand, water, if that's the way you want to do it. The Holy Spirit is always efficient. He's always smart. He's always doing it the best way. See, because the Holy Spirit knows everything, it is literally impossible for Him to be inefficient. He can't make a mistake. He can't say, "Oh, it would have been faster if I had done it this way." He can never say that because He always does it the very best, the wisest, the best efficient way. That's the way He is. And that's what omniscience means. And that means that the Holy Spirit, who is living in your heart, is very smart, omniscient, in fact. And He is always able to guide you in the moment to the very best thing. So if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Now we have these absolutes, and I have eight of them written here. And you can see some of them are general and some are specific. So if you're going to try to make a grocery list of your priorities, like I'll do this one first, and then I'll do this one, and then I'll do that one, you're going to have a hard time because some are general and some are specific. So I have eight of them here, and you can see some of these are done all day, every day, and some are done for specific parts of the day. So what are you supposed to do? Here are the eight musts. I mean, you have to do these. All of us as believers, we have to do all of these eight things, and there might have been other things that could have been in this list as well. But these are directly commanded. Number one, you must love God with everything in you. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, strength, and mind. You must. You must. That's a command. By the way, loving the Lord includes being faithful to Him, obeying Him, serving Him, right? And you must love others well. Love your neighbors as much as you love yourself. You must. That's a direct command. You have to love other people well. Well, okay, that would mean if I'm going to love others well, for example, number three there, I must not ask other people to feed and shelter me. I mean, I'm not here to grab their money. I'm here to be helpful. I don't want you to have to feed me and shelter me. So to love you well means I'm not going to ask you to do that. We must nurture spouses and children well, and our elderly parents if we're adults. We have to do that. I mean, that's directly commanded. We have to do family well. It's what Christians do. And we must edify Christ's church well. Edify both in numbers. We hope that another person will become a Christian today. We want to build up the church in numbers, in size, and we want to build up the church in spirit, in heart. And we want to leave the Church of Jesus better than we found it each day. And we must do that. That's a direct command in Scripture. And we must do charitable things for people. If it be possible, as much as lies in you, live peaceably. We want to be good people. And then as we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men. We want to take care of everybody, but especially the household of faith. So we just want to be charitable. And we must obey our politicians and employers. I mean, these are direct commands. We have to obey our government, and we have to obey our bosses at work. That's a command. Well, and then with all of these, we have to work hard to accomplish these things. So we can't say, well, none of these is a priority. Like, no, they're commanded. We have to do them all. You can't say this priority is important to me and that priority isn't. These are all must statements in Scripture. But here's the problem. We don't always have control of our schedules. So, for example, in the New Testament days when these things were written, about one third or one half of all of the Christians were servants. Well, when you're a servant, you don't say, listen, boss, I need Sundays off. Servants don't necessarily get Sundays off. They can request Sundays off, but there's no guarantee that they're going to get it. If you lived in North Korea today, you could say to your employer, listen, I want Sundays off. And your employer doesn't care what you say. And you live in North Korea. You have to obey the North Korean government and you have to obey your North Korean boss. So this is not just for America in our day. This is for all cultures throughout church history. And we don't always have bosses, masters, and governments that let us decide that we're going to have midweek services and we're going to have all kinds of time at our disposal. That's not always ours to choose. In our particular area, if you happen to be in the military, you might get deployed and you don't see your family for weeks or months. So your time is not your own. So we don't always have control. We can see these are our priorities, but we don't always have control over how much time we're going to spend with our families for the next month or two, right? And the second problem is when we do have control of our schedules, you know, we have a lot of flexibility. When we do have control of our schedules, how do we know what fraction of our time and energy each must should receive? One thing is needful, walk in the Spirit. Here's our idea. Priorities in your day are basically going to come down to this. Moments that you have versus musts from God's priority list. And so the question is, in this moment that I have, is this moment supposed to be given to my interior life of worship? A direct focus on that. Is this moment supposed to go to my family obligations? Is this moment supposed to have something to do with my financial income or spending? Is this moment supposed to have something to do with my health and attractiveness? Is this moment supposed to have something to do with building up my church? Is this moment supposed to have something to do with charity or leisure and hobbies or citizen compliance with my government? Is this moment supposed to be to get my taxes done? Is this moment supposed to be that I can't go as fast as I want to the next place? I have to obey the speed limit. Is that what this moment is all about? And what you have to do is figure out in each moment what direction you're supposed to go with your priorities. Say, well, how am I supposed to do that? And the answer is walk in the Spirit. One thing is needful, and you're going to walk in the Spirit. I'm sure you understand that the Lord must have preferences for every moment of your life. He must have preferences. And so if he has these preferences for what you should be doing with each hour of your life, then the only thing you have to do is find the one needful thing for that hour and then walk in the Spirit. Follow him. So, for example, Sunday at 11 p.m., the Holy Spirit probably wants you to be at church. Now, that might not be the case in certain instances, and we're glad to grant that. But if you're in a situation where time after time you're hitting 11 o'clock on Sunday morning and you can't come to church, you need to be careful, because that's not very likely that you're walking in the Spirit and he's not leading you to do that at 11 o'clock Sunday morning. Tuesday at dinner time, he probably wants you to be at the table with your family. Now, of course, there could be all kinds of cases when this is not true for you. But, you know, in general, family time is really important and dinner time tends to be family time. So, you know, probably that's the case. Friday at 2 o'clock in the morning, probably the Holy Spirit wants you in bed. Now, that might not be true. Maybe you work the night shift. I don't know. There are lots of things that come into play here. But you can see probably the Holy Spirit has preferences for how much sleep you get, for eating dinner with your family, for going to church. He probably has preferences, right? And one thing is needful for each hour of your life. Now, if we walk in the Spirit, and by walking in the Spirit, we mean following his promptings, he's going to communicate with you through your conscience what he wants you to do. And if you follow these promptings, that doesn't mean everything is always crystal clear. And so we're going to come back to our saying that we rely on so often, which I reminded you a few weeks ago is really quite biblical. How will you know what he's prompting you to do? And the answer is you're going to pray like crazy and you're going to take your best guess. And he is going to lead you. Walk in the Spirit. That's what you're going to do. If we live in the Spirit, if he's living in our hearts and we are enveloped in the world of Christ, if we live in the Spirit, then let's also walk in the Spirit. And he's going to communicate with you. You say, but I'm just not sure. All right. Pray like crazy. Take your best guess. And I think you'll find that this is going to be just what you needed. Does the Holy Spirit really guide us in a day-by-day abiding sense? I mean, is this possible? And the answer is sure. John 14:26, the Comforter, who is the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things. John 16:13, he will guide you into all truth. 1 John 2:27, he teaches you about all things. 1 John 2:20, you have an anointing of the Holy One, and you know all things. James 1:5, you lack wisdom, ask of God, and he gives it. Pray like crazy, right? And take your best guess. 1 Corinthians 2:16, who's known the mind of the Lord that he may correct him? But we have the mind of Christ. We do have the mind of Christ. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. And Jeremiah 31:31 is the original New Testament text. Jeremiah lives about 600 years before Jesus was born in the manger, right? 600 years before Jesus was born, the Lord told Jeremiah, I'm going to make a new covenant someday, a new covenant with the house of Israel, with the house of Judah. And that's what we today call the New Testament. 600 years before Jesus was born, the Lord says, the day is going to come when I give them a new covenant, a new testament. And that's why Jesus, when he was ready to die at the Last Supper, said, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. You know what Jeremiah said 600 years ago? It's D-Day. It's each hour. It happens right now. This New Testament that Jeremiah talked about 600 years ago is going to happen when my blood is shed. You say, so what's so different about the New Testament? And here it is. I will make a New Testament with the house of Israel. I will put my law in their inward parts. I'm going to talk to them in their hearts. The old law of Moses was on tablets of stone, right? This is going to be different. I'm going to write on the tablets of their heart, and they're going to know what I want them to do. So does the Lord really guide us in a step-by-step, moment-by-moment, abiding way? Absolutely. That's what makes the New Testament, the new covenant in which you find yourself, so wonderful. Well, we ask ourselves, then why would anybody not want to walk in the Spirit if that's how things are? I mean, that's a pretty great thing, right? And the reason why people might not want to walk in the Spirit is, in the first place, maybe they didn't realize that there could be specific guidance in any given moment. Like, well, I didn't know that the Lord was going to tell me how I should spend this hour of my day. I didn't even know that was possible. Well, now you know. And maybe they correctly realize that the Lord is at cross purposes with what they want to do. Like, I don't think I would like to ask the Lord if this outfit in my closet is pleasing to him. I have an idea he might tell me no. And since he might tell me no, this outfit is not pleasing to him, there's no way in the world I'm going to ask him. In that case, we are not walking in the Spirit. So you see, we have reasons not to walk in the Spirit, but I hope that you will anyway. Let's talk about your interior life. And here we're talking about your meditation on God's Word and prayer. The Lord is going to press upon you, prompt you, give you impulses, talk to you in your heart about having some kind of contact with the Bible on a very frequent basis. And that could go a lot of different directions. It may be that you're actually picking up the Bible and reading it. It may be that you're listening to it. It may be that you're listening to sermons. It may be that you're listening to podcasts. It may be that you're reading Christian books or books with Bible content in them. However this works, there are a variety of ways, and in some ways it doesn't really matter. But the Lord is going to put you in a pressure in your conscience, a pressure situation, so that you know, I really need to have more contact with the Lord's Word. He is also going to prompt you to frequently speak to the Lord in prayer. Whenever something comes to mind, you should thank him for it if you like this. Like, if this is good food, you should tell him, this is good food, thank you, Lord. If you see somebody who doesn't have the health that you have, you should tell the Lord, thank you for the health that you have. If you realize that you like your car, or you like your house, or you like your kitchen, or you like whatever it is that you like, the Holy Spirit will probably prompt you. You know, you should thank God for that. And so you should. And when you need wisdom, like, you know what, I'm about this close to really giving a guy a piece of my mind. That's when you're supposed to ask the Lord to give you wisdom and strength not to do that. So you need it in the moment. And in the moment, if you'll walk in the Spirit, he's going to give you the idea to pray for strength and wisdom. Is that true? Is the Holy Spirit really going to ask me to be in frequent contact with the Bible? And the answer is, yeah, that's true. Psalm 1:1, blessed is the man. You know, the truly happy man, you know what he does? In God's law, he meditates day and night. He thinks about it all the time. And you realize how this is. You're watching Fox News, if you watch Fox News. And a guy comes across there, and he's all upset about something that's happening in politics. And he's too harsh. And you should say, as it's straining through this Bible grid, you know, the Bible says the wrath of man doesn't work the righteousness of God. What I just heard that guy say, I like that guy, but I don't want to be like that. That's angry. I don't want to be that. And so what you've done is you've strained your news through a biblical grid. You're watching a movie, and you see in this movie woman is taking on all of the worst parts of maleness. In other words, she's using a lot of profanity because she wants to be as tough as the boys. And she weighs 120 pounds, and she can beat up the whole world, and she's kind of violent, have a bad attitude. And that's straining through this Bible grid. And you think, you know, I don't mind that my daughter is watching this right now, but I am going to eventually talk to her about not taking on the worst parts of maleness because you want to look like the boys and be tough as the boys. See, it's straining through this biblical grid. And everything is always constantly straining through your biblical grid because you have frequent contact with the Bible. In his law, he meditates day and night. Like, oh, that puts me in mind that my Savior one time said something about loving money and wanting to be rich. I remember that. And in his law, you're always thinking about the principles of God comes up all the time in your mind because you frequently think about God's law. Joshua 1:8, let this book of the law never depart out of your mouth. You'll think about this all the time. You'll meditate in it day and night. I'm straining this through my Bible grid. And you know what? What I just saw there, that's not who I am. That's not good. I don't want that to be part of my life. I reject that. Psalm 119:97. Oh, how I love your law, Lord. It is my meditation all the day. I'm constantly comparing everything I see on the news and everything I see in the media and what's happening in my government. I'm constantly straining it through this Bible grid. I think about this Bible grid day and night. Deuteronomy 6:6, and these words which I command you this day shall be in your heart. You're thinking about them. And you'll teach them diligently to your children. And when will you teach them to your children? Well, four suggestions. When you sit in your house, when you walk on the road, when you lie down, when you rise up, it's just what we talk about. It's just this constant Bible grid, and my whole world is strained through this Bible grid, and the Holy Spirit's going to press upon you the importance of acquainting yourself with the Bible. So you should be listening to Christian podcasts and Christian music and Christian sermons and reading Christian books and reading your Bible so you have this Bible grid all the time. And the Holy Spirit's going to press you to pray a lot. And you've seen these verses many times before. Pray without ceasing, continuing instant, persistent in prayer. In everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known. In everything, give thanks. Give thanks to God always. Offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. The fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name all the time. So the Lord is going to be in your daytime reminding you, oh, have you listened to some sermons, some podcasts? Have you read Christian books? Are you listening to Christian music? Have you picked up the Bible? Are you going to Bible study? Are you talking to your friends about the Bible? And what about prayer? Oh, you know, this is something you should thank me for. This is a pretty great car you have. Did you mention that in prayer lately? Your career. Well, walking in the Spirit in the moment is going to require different things depending on where you are. If you're preparing for a career, that probably means you're in school or some sort of apprenticeship. That school is going to have a schedule. That means you start on a certain time and you end at a certain time. And that's the Holy Spirit's will. He's wanting you to go to school, to go on time, to finish your assignments on time, to do a good job. That's what he wants you to do. If you're already employed, the Holy Spirit wants you to please your master well in all things. That's what Titus 2:9 says. You have to please your boss. That's one of those must things. And so my boss at this time wants me to be productive, you know. A good hour's work for a good hour's dollar. So I'm going to be productive. That is the will of God. That's what the Holy Spirit is leading you to do. If pleasing your boss, it's not true like in New Testament times when all of those Christians had masters. They couldn't quit. But you could. If pleasing your boss requires more than the Holy Spirit seems to be prompting you to offer, then he might also press you to get a different job. Think, well, I notice in this job here that I miss church all the time. Maybe the Holy Spirit would like you to get a new job. Or I notice in this job here that I almost never have dinner with my family, and I'm missing all kinds of milestones with my family. Oh, well, maybe the Holy Spirit would lead you to get a different job. You see, he's going to lead you in the moment, and it has something to do with these must statements, and it probably will touch your career. It will touch your family. If you're prompted by Christ's Spirit to have a family, then you will also be prompted by Christ's Spirit to nurture your family. And if the Holy Spirit gives you a family, then He is going to prompt you to notice when someone in your family needs extra time and attention and energy. And it may be necessary for you to shift some things around with your career or your hobbies or leisure time or whatever to address your family. You know what He's probably not going to lead you to do? Most of the time, He's not going to say, from now on, you quit going to church at 11 o'clock Sunday morning and take your family on picnics. No, 11 o'clock on Sunday morning is church time. However you're going to address this family thing, you're not going to eliminate one of the musts. You're going to take away something that's not a must. So all of these things are tricky and delicate. And you'll remember that the Holy Spirit may redirect you, not only with career, but with all aspects of your life. By the way, it is possible that He would redirect your time away from church. It is possible to spend too much time in church. I don't think very many people are doing that right now, but it could happen, and I think it happened a lot in the 1960s and 70s. Your physical health and beauty. The Holy Spirit will prompt you at certain times to give special attention to your health needs and your appearance in order to maximize your spiritual effectiveness and usefulness. That's true. Oppositely, the Holy Spirit will probably prompt you at certain times to sacrifice your prospects for good health and beauty in order to achieve a more important objective. So, for example, 1 Timothy 5:23 has the Holy Spirit, through Paul, saying, do not drink water any longer because the water had parasites. So don't drink that water. It's not good for you anymore. But use a little wine for your stomach's sake and your frequent sicknesses. So in other words, the alcohol of the wine put in the water would kill the bacteria that was causing the problem or the parasites. So you better have a little more wine in your water and in your diet. That's because Timothy was frequently sick. He wanted to be a teetotaler, because that way nobody ever wonders what you're up to. But Paul said, you can't be a teetotaler. You're getting sick all the time on this water. Start mixing down your water and wine. It's not full wine like we drink out of a bottle today, but it's a mixture. You have to do that. That's Paul telling Timothy, you have to get a handle on your health. This isn't working. You got to change. Oppositely, Philippians 2:30 tells the story of Epaphroditus, who was sent with a message to Paul while he was in a Roman prison. And Epaphroditus nearly died bringing Paul the message and the gifts that the church had prepared for him while he was in prison. He says, for the work of Christ, Epaphroditus was near to death, not regarding his life. So it's interesting. In one case, the Holy Spirit was telling Timothy, you have to take care of your health. This is not sustainable. Get a handle on this. And in another case, telling Epaphroditus, don't worry about your health. Just get the gift over to Rome for Paul. Either way, one thing is needful. Walk in the Spirit. Your finances. The Holy Spirit will prompt you to pursue certain career and income ideas and to skip other ideas in order to maximize your spiritual growth and effectiveness. You should ask the Lord what career He wants you to be in. And He will give you guidance to either go into a career or to skip over a career. And you should ask Him, because He does undoubtedly have preferences. One thing is needful, walk in the Spirit. And the Holy Spirit will prompt you to spend certain fractions of your money on certain purchases and to skip certain purchases, once again, in order to maximize your contentment and your generosity. So you should ask the Lord, should a guy like me have a car like this? Should a guy like me live in a house like this? Should a guy like me spend this much money on my groceries? Should a guy like me spend this much money on my hobbies? I'm asking. I want to know. The Lord probably has preferences. One thing is needful. Walk in the Spirit. Let's see what He says. Your church. The Holy Spirit will prompt you to attend certain church gatherings and to expend great effort in one anothering certain fellow Christians in certain ways. Now, that's going to be different in every household. But would you dare to ask God how much labor, intensity you should be putting into church? Do Do you even want to know? Lord, should I just come to 1 hour a week? Is that what you have for me? Do you want to know the answer to that? One thing is sure. He's going to prompt you to work hard because edifying the church is really, really important to him. As to how hard, how many hours, how much energy, nobody knows that. But there are going to be times when he says, you have to do certain things. One thing is needful, walk in the Spirit. The Holy Spirit will never prompt you to entirely quit regular church gatherings, even if your master, your government, or your family authorities say, don't go. So if you live in North Korea and they say, you can't go to church, you say, well, I'm going. If you're married to a man who says, no, you're not going to go to church anymore, you have to say, yes, I am too going to go to church. The Holy Spirit will never prompt you, press you to quit going to church. You might have to miss for some period of time, but not permanently. The Holy Spirit will frequently press you to bring up the subject of the gospel to others. Would you dare to ask him, like, Lord, should I mention the gospel to this person I work with? Do you want to know the answer to that? One thing is needful, walk in the Spirit. Your hobbies and your leisure time. The Holy Spirit will prompt you at certain times to pursue prospects that interest and amuse you. All things richly to enjoy, right? The Lord wants you to have hobbies and leisure time. The Holy Spirit will prompt you at certain times to take perfect rest in order to relieve your anxiety and disappointment. Do you even want to know if the Lord wants you to rest? Or are you so busy, you don't even want to confer with the Lord on that? The Holy Spirit will prompt you at certain times to sacrifice your rest, your leisure, your comforts in order to accomplish more pressing objectives. Could go either way. One thing is needful, walk in the Spirit. We know that the Holy Spirit really does prompt us to rest. Deuteronomy 5:14 is talking about the Sabbath, you know, a representation of many passages in Scripture. The seventh day is the Sabbath. You shall not do any work so that your workers may rest as well as you. So the Lord worked it out in the Mosaic Code that 1/7 of their time, they weren't allowed to do any work. Do you have days like that? Like, is there ever a day when you don't do any work? And I'm not saying you have to be rigid about this. You might decide that there's a block of time every day I'm not going to do work. And that's good. We're not under the law. But if you never Sabbath yourself, I think you're going to fall apart. 1 Timothy 6:17, command those who are rich in this world that they be not high-minded nor trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God who gives us richly all things to enjoy. The Lord wants you to enjoy your life. When he gives you something nice, you're supposed to enjoy it. It's not supposed to be all drudgery, right? In Micah 4:4, the perfect world, what we call the millennia, they shall sit every man under his vine and under his fig tree, and none shall make them afraid. Do you ever just sit in the shade? Or are you too busy? There's no time for that. See, I think the Holy Spirit, would you dare to ask him, Lord, should I be reorganizing my life so I sit in the shade sometime? Should I? Walk in the Spirit. One thing is needful. What we've said then is that the Lord surely has preferences for what you do in each moment of your life. And if you walk in the Spirit, you will be able to locate the one needful thing for each hour of your life. What we're saying here is, I think, right, we're going to pray like crazy and take our best guess. I think the Lord is prompting me to spend this moment addressing this must, this priority. And I could be wrong, but I have prayed and asked for wisdom. And I believe that God gives wisdom to those who pray and ask for it, and that I can walk in the Spirit since I was commanded to walk in the Spirit. So I think this is what I'm supposed to be doing at this time in my life. If I walk up to you at 2:00 in the afternoon on Thursday and I say, what you're doing right now, do you think this is what the Holy Spirit wants you to be doing? I hope your answer would be, yeah, I think so. I think this is what he wants. I do think about that. I do care about it. And I ask the Lord to show me. And I think this is the right idea. If we will not walk in the Spirit, if we will not walk in step with the Holy Spirit, then here's what will happen. My joy will fade under unsustainable levels of anxiety and depression. No joy. I'll spend my life doing things that don't really matter. I didn't do the musts in my life. But then the musts that I did have got left undone somehow. And then, of course, my eternal reward will be diminished. So here's our conclusion. Don't make up your own priorities in life. It's not up to you to make up your own priorities. There's a needful thing for each moment. And the Holy Spirit will lead you to that needful thing if you'll walk with Him. And the second important conclusion is, don't imagine that you are locked into your current patterns in any area. Like, I think the Holy Spirit wants me to spend a little bit more time building up His church or building up my family or doing something other than work. But what can I do? This is my job. The answer is, you could quit your job. Or maybe you don't have to quit your job. Quit your, you're getting another degree. Maybe you don't need another degree. I mean, don't think you're locked in because the Holy Spirit may press you at any time to start spending certain moments in ways that are different than your current routine. So this is it then, right? This is the model. How do I know what to do with my priorities in life? You have all these must statements. Here's what you do. Remember, you can be upset and troubled about many things, but only one thing is needful in any given moment. And if you live in the Spirit, you should walk in the Spirit, and He'll show you what that one thing is. And that is how you go through life with your priorities in order. Can we stand and be dismissed with prayer? Maybe there's something that you've been thinking about while we have discussed these things this morning that you think might be a little out of balance. And maybe you've been afraid to ask the Lord if you're out of balance in this thing. How about if you take a moment just now to consider your lifestyle and ask the Lord if there's anything you should address? I'll give you just a moment to do that. Now, Father, I think and I hope that I'm speaking for every person in this room that we're asking you for your wisdom. We do want to do it your way. And if you have a preference, we want to know it and we want to follow it. So as we go through this week, help us to be mindful of your preferences, to wish for them and to follow you, because we know that's the path to happiness, that's the path to productivity, and that's the path to eternal reward. And that's what we really want. So we pray for this in Jesus' name. Amen.